you believe that nothing is impossible when it comes to the Almighty God?
I believe.
You can go ahead and be seated. I have here in my hand the message that Brother Rossing preached in our holiness series on the process of holiness. And if you have your prayer journal, if you don't have a prayer journal, we can get you a prayer journal. But this is all three-hole punched for your prayer journal. Those are available right up over here on the your right side. And I don't see any on this side. So back over here, if you need one, go ahead and get one and put that in your prayer journal. And yes, it is raining outside. Thank you. How many of you tonight need a real miracle in your life? How many of you would like to leave here tonight with that miracle met? How many of you here tonight need a real healing in your body? How many of you need a healing in your spirit? You see, you can leave here with your body healed, and you can leave here with your spirit healed. You can leave here made whole tonight. And this month of June, we're going to be speaking on a series, titling the series, Why Not Me? So many times we look at other people and we see that other people have a miracle in their life. And we ask ourselves, God, how come I'm not the recipient of a miracle? How come you haven't healed my body yet? How come I'm still in pain? How come my mind, my marriage, all of the various issues in my life are still broken? I want to challenge you tonight at the end of this service to step out in faith. Step out in faith. So here in the month of June, I want to challenge each one of you to reach out to God for the supernatural to happen in your life. How many of you believe in the supernatural? How many of you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? That's the supernatural. It doesn't get any more supernatural than that. But I believe that God is asking us, God is begging us to ask in anything in my name. Ask in my name. James 4:3 tells us that we have not because we ask not. So many times we don't get what we want to get or what we need from God because we simply don't ask God for it because we don't believe that God can actually do what we've asked Him to do. A few years back, I was supposed to have knee surgery and have complete reconstruction surgery on my knee. And they were going to take and go in with what they call a hamstring ripper. It just sounds painful. On my right knee, and they were going to go into my left hamstring and take this instrument and push it up into my hamstring and pull out a tendon. And then they were going to use that tendon to attach or reattach in my knee because my tendon, ACL tendon in my knee had just kind of disappeared. And I came in here to church and I believed that God could heal me. Did I have doubts? I think sometimes we always have doubts that, well, God, you know, you heal this person, you heal this person. I just said, you know, why not me? Why not a miracle in my life? Why not, Lord? I remember when the brethren gathered around me and began to pray. I want to tell you one thing. I felt absolutely nothing other than them praying for me. I'm just being honest with you. I didn't feel any heat start in my knee and work its way up, and I didn't feel any great tingling in my body. I didn't feel anything. But I knew, I just knew that God was going to touch me. And here I am tonight, a couple years later, being able to take and move around and preach and jump, shout, do all kinds of things with my knee. Now, my wife told me I needed to be careful the way that I throw my knee around because I might end up blowing it out again just being foolish. But you see, I am thankful because a couple years ago, this was impossible for me. Okay? This was impossible for me. I couldn't do that a couple years ago. You know how I had to get up a couple years ago? My wife would tell you. I would lay on the floor like this. When I put my socks on, I'd have to lay down like this, and I'd have to roll over and sit up and grab onto something. Now I just simply get up. Why? Because God healed my knee. He healed my knee. How many of you have ever struggled with acid reflux? It's got to be the nastiest thing. It's just nasty to wake up in the middle of the night with a mouthful of stomach acid. And I prayed and I said, God, I need deliverance over this. And I remember in the message I was preaching and I listed off a whole bunch of different diseases and I mentioned acid reflux first. Now, I've thrown up since then because I've been sick with the flu and various other things. But I can sit down with Brother Juan and we can have our jalapenos. I have learned that some things I don't eat late in the evenings because I just try not to eat big meals before I go to bed. But see, I believe that God can heal. And I believe that God is desiring to do miracles and signs and wonders among us tonight. You see, the problem is most Christians today, we're just satisfied with salvation. Now, don't get me wrong. Salvation within itself is a miracle from God. To be able to take the life of a person and transform it through the blood of Jesus Christ, that is a miracle. Many of you here tonight, you are a walking, talking miracle because of what God has done in your life and in my life through salvation alone. But you see, salvation is just the beginning of what God desires to do in our life. Salvation is just the beginning of what God has in store for you in your life. And over time, what happens is as time goes on, we just experience the salvation and we don't experience anything else and we don't really grow a lot. And over a period of time, our lives become unfruitful. And why do they become unfruitful? Simply because we believe that we're not qualified to do what God has called us to do. There are many times in my life that I allowed my qualifications to affect my ministry. My lack of qualifications to affect my ministry. So many times we look at our lives and we're always looking for that some little something. When we come to church and we look for that some little nugget or that seemingly just around the corner solution to whatever problem that we may have. And we tend to be looking for that something all the time that will help us feel that we can do the job that God calls us to do. But that something, that feeling that we're not yet ready for, we know that we want to be used by God and we want God to use us in a mighty way, but our flesh tells us that we're not quite ready for this, and our flesh will continually tell you that you're not ready to be used by the Almighty God. But you have to understand one thing about our flesh. Most of the time our flesh stinks, and God Almighty has been working and using the flesh of humanity since the beginning of humanity. And he's never let it stop him. He's never let it slow him down. He's never let the stink of our flesh stop him from moving amongst his people. He's never let the smell of our flesh stop us from being used in his kingdom. Over and over and over, we can look through the scripture and we can find individuals that had problems with their flesh, but they were still used by God. Oftentimes we look to God and we look at sometimes the new members of our congregation, the new people who've just come in and they've just been converted and they're on zeal for God, and God begins to use them and God begins to bless them. And we sometimes as seasoned saints, we get all bent out of shape. Now hear me now, you may not like what I'm going to say here, but we get all bent out of shape because God begins to use them. And yet we ask, and sometimes we sit back in judgment and oftentimes in a critical eye, why has God not used me in that way? You see, you don't have to be a saint of God for 50 years before God is willing to use you. God said, whosoever will, I will use anybody that will allow me to use them at whatever point they allow. At one, God has used donkeys to get his point across. So we sit in judgment sometimes, and we're not willing. You see, the problem is we're not willing to let go of what God has already given to us in our hands. We become selfish with God. The miracle, your miracle that you seek is in your very own hands tonight. Yet we will not let go of that. We will not give to God so that He can use it for His glory. Listen, miracles aren't done for your glory and for my glory. Miracles are done and healings are done for His glory. Satan's fear is not our becoming a Christian. Satan's fear is not us receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost and being baptized in Jesus' name and speaking in tongues. His fear is us getting involved in ministry. His fear is us understanding who we are and what we have in His name or in the name of Jesus. His fear is us taking the knowledge that we have and putting it to work in the kingdom of God. That's what Satan fears. He's not afraid of you if you just come to church and you're a non-productive Christian. You pose no threat to him. He understands what lukewarmness means. But it's people that are willing to take and step out into that realm of faith. It's people who are willing to let the Holy Ghost, let the power of God come down in their life and touch them in a supernatural way so they can become more effective in the kingdom of God. But you see, most of us will never step into that realm of impossibility. Most of us will never step into that realm of faith. And the reason we won't is because we're afraid of one thing. We're afraid of failure. We're afraid of failure. I have just a short passage to read tonight, reading from Exodus 4, 1 through 3. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it to the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it." So many of us here tonight are standing there, and the Lord is asking us, "What is in your hands?" And all we have to say is we have just a simple shepherd's rod. And God is saying, "Cast it on the ground." And we ask God, "Why?" And we're not willing to follow the voice of God. Here we are reading about a man named Moses. Most of you maybe have heard of Moses, but if you haven't heard of Moses, he was a man that God had sent back to Egypt to take and bring the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage where they had been for some 430 years. Moses had returned to Egypt after 40 years of being in the wilderness. You see, his last attempt at leadership in Israel, he grew up in the house of Pharaoh, but his last attempt of leadership was a flop, and God had sent him back to lead Israel. Moses had failed at an earlier attempt to be the rescuer of God's people, but he went about it his way. He tried to do things without God, and as a result, he failed. So many times in our lives, we can follow this same pattern. We try to do things without God, and we fail. And we try to do things without God, and we fail. And we give up on God because our flesh won't allow God to work through us. So we're failing. It's not God that's allowing us to fail. It's not God that's causing us to fail. It's our own flesh that's causing us to fail. So here he's going back some 40 years later, and God has called him again to go back to Egypt and to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses is having this struggle, is why will they believe me this time? Why will they listen to me this time? You see, Moses, he's not necessarily struggling with the message, but he's struggling as the messenger. He doesn't necessarily have a problem with what God is asking him to do, but he's struggling as the messenger. anger. He's concerned that they might reject him. He's concerned that he might take and fail. He's concerned about his credibility to the Israelites. You notice he's concerned about all of these things that is all about him. None of it is about God. He's concerned that he may be rejected. He's concerned that his credibility, he's concerned about maybe he's going to fail. And he's been gone for 40 years, and last time he left, he had to flee for his life. His previous record in absence for 40 years would probably make the Israelites very cautious. So he was wondering, why would they believe me now? This is always the fear we struggle in doing anything for God. What if they do not believe me? What will happen if we tell them that this is going to happen? And if it doesn't happen, Lord, are they going to believe me? What if they don't think that God appeared to me? The only word and the only witness they have is me. There's nobody else. There's nobody to back it up. There was only Moses. You see, what God was looking for, he was looking for someone who could handle the difficulties of leading the nation of Israel. He was looking for a man who knew the difficulties of life and had learned the difficulties of life. He was looking for a man who was not so worried about his acceptance of what people would think of him. That's one thing that I love about Jesus Christ is he never fought over being accepted. He was who he was, and he went about the countryside of Galilee, and he went about healing on the Sabbath when he wasn't supposed to heal on the Sabbath, and he took dirt from the ground in John chapter 9 verse 6, I believe, and he spit on that dirt and he made a little ball of mud and he smeared it into the eyes of a blind man, not worrying, not caring what other people were going to think or worry about the opinion of others, and he smears it into the eyes of a blind man and the man's eyes open. You see, they had no use until the mud was smeared into his eyes. I mean, doubt would tell us, what do you got to lose? They're not any value. He can't use them anyway, right? Other than maybe a little bit of pain, it's not going to do any more damage. He can't see. So why not step out by faith? Why not get a little radical? And here, Jesus went and took some dirt and spit in it. What an insult. Smears it in his eyes, and his eyes are open. He used what was in his hands. He was not afraid of what people thought of him. So here we have Moses. This was Moses' third excuse to try and get out of God calling him. So many times in our lives, we have excuses as to why God's idea is a bad idea in our life. For years, I ran from God because I didn't want to preach. I said, God, I'm not a preacher. I'm not preaching material. I don't want to preach. I'd rather do plumbing. I'd rather plumb houses for a living. It pays a lot better. And, you know, I had all of these excuses as to why I shouldn't be a preacher. I came up with one excuse after another. Lord, I'm not qualified enough. I don't have the qualifications of John Grant. And you know what? Every time I come up with an excuse, God would just come back and say, but I didn't call you to be John Grant. But God, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be good enough. You're always going to fight with sin. You're always going to fight with flesh. That's the way I created you. That's why there's repentance. That's why there's justification. That's why there's salvation. That's why we have sanctification. I gave you all of these. Stop making excuses, Roy Grant! But yet, I ran from God. I ran from the calling that God had in my life. You see, I could have saved a lot of time by just being submissive to God. But no, I ended up on my own backside of the desert experience. And if you're backslidden in God, you're going to end up on the backside of the desert. And you better listen when God speaks, because God will not always speak to you. There came a point in my life where God says, this is it. I'm done speaking to you. Either you listen to me or I'm going to move on. I was afraid of failure. I was afraid of what God would require of me. So because I was afraid of failure and I was afraid of what God would require of me, I decided to live my life in complete misery. Now that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I was afraid of failure. I was afraid of failing in ministry. I was fearful of not being accepted. You know, you get back into ministry and I walked away from God for some 13 years and all of you were here working hard in the kingdom of God. And I thought, what are people going to think when I go back in and want to start getting involved in ministry? Are they going to look at me and say, oh yeah, now you're all full of energy. We've been here carrying the boat. We've been here carrying the load for 13 years. Well, you were just out having fun. You see, that was kind of the attitude of the older brother with the prodigal. But you see, those were all things that I allowed the enemy to sow into my mind and in my heart. So Moses, afraid when he spoke to the people, told them God had called him to come to their rescue, and he was afraid that they would not listen. But something they did not realize was, as they had been toiling away for some 40 years in Egypt, God had not been sitting by idly. He was working on the heart of Moses. You see, here you have Moses tending his father-in-law's sheep. You got to understand, they're not even his own sheep. He doesn't own the land. He doesn't own the sheep. He doesn't own anything. The only possession that we find that he owns, other than the clothes on his back and the sandals on his feet, was his shepherd's staff. All we know is that he owned that shepherd's staff. And here he was tending sheep in the wilderness, but God was moving in his life. You may feel right now that you are in a wilderness and you have nothing to your name, but trust me, God is moving in your life. God is positioning. God is desiring to position you in your life for a miracle, for the greatest miracle that you could ever expect. All you have to do is sit and be patient and allow God to use you and to speak through you. You see, as he was tending sheep in the wilderness, God was indeed moving in his life. It was in the wilderness that God spoke to him through a burning bush. And it was in this wilderness, as God spoke to him, that God introduced himself to Moses. And when Moses asked God, when I go back down to Egypt and say, let my people go, whom do I say sent me? And God replied and said, you tell the Israelites and you tell Pharaoh that I am hath sent you. You go tell him that the God of this universe, you go tell him the God that created all of the evils, all of the idols that the Egyptians worship. You go tell them that I created the land in which they live in. I created the sun. I created the moon. I created the stars. I created the heavens. I created the earth. That's who I want you to go back. When you go back, you're going to go back with some authority. You see, but he was afraid that they wouldn't believe that God had spoken to him. He was afraid that they wouldn't believe that God had given him the authority to come and deliver him. But we see in this story that Moses was more focused on him and he was not focused on God. And listen, church, God will have a way to show the people who is in authority here. I am not the authority in this church. Pastor Grant is not the ultimate authority in this church. It's God who is the ultimate authority in this church. And if God says, let my people go, my people will simply be let go. As long as Moses spoke God's word, the authority would prove real. And as long as we speak the unadulterated word of God behind this pulpit, the authority of God will remain real. It's when we get away from the authority in this book, and it's when we get away from the authority of God's word. God says, I can't back that up because that's not in my word. You see, if we understand the authority and the power in the Word of God, God will bless it. And Moses had no clue as to when and to where he was going to be able to prove the power and authority that God had in his life. All he knew was that he had his shepherd's staff. That was it. It was just a staff used to herd sheep. It was used to help a sheep that had become stuck in some pitfall or some crevice. It was used to correct the sheep. The single shepherd's staff was all the authority that Moses had. But once he lets God touch that simple shepherd's staff and he allowed God to touch it in a supernatural way. Oh, church, are you getting the point that God is desiring us to get tonight? It just may be all that is in your hands tonight. It just may be a simple shepherd's staff, but with the authority and the power of the Almighty God, it is something more, so much more than just a shepherd's staff. God has only one question for Moses over concern over authority, and he allows Moses to take that staff, and Moses threw it on the ground, and that staff became a serpent. Now, this is intriguing to me. I believe that that became a cobra. And the reason I believe it became a cobra was because the symbol of the power and authority of Pharaoh was the cobra. And God says, you're going to throw that snake, you're going to throw that rod, Brother Glenn, on the ground, and I'm going to turn it into the enemy's power and authority. I'm going to turn it into a cobra. And God spoke to Moses and said, pick it back up. And when he picked it back up, he picked it up by the tail, which is where you don't pick up a viper. Otherwise, it will turn around and bite you. But he picked it up by the tail, and it became his rod again. And what God was telling Moses was that when you go to Egypt, I am going to give you power and authority over the serpent. And so many times in our lives, we allow the serpent, we allow Satan to manifest his power and his authority over our lives. As long as Moses held on to his own authority and he did not give it over to God, it was nothing more than a shepherd's staff. But when he took that staff and he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent and he picked it back up, when he picked it back up, it had changed. There was something supernatural in the hands of Moses. He may not have realized all what he had at that moment, but as his life began to unfold and as he went down to Egypt and he began to utilize that shepherd's staff, the authority and the power and the anointing that was in his hands, God began to do miracles. The entire Egyptian empire was brought to its knees through a simple shepherd's staff. You see, Moses, he had been supernaturally touched by God. Supernaturally touched by God. And when Moses picked it up, it became a staff in his hand again. But now, it was different. There was something different about that shepherd's staff. And God is saying, listen, church, what do you have in your hands tonight? What do you have in your hands? I want everyone right now to look at their hands. Take your hands and put them in front of your face, both of them, and look at them and say, Lord, where is the miracle in my hands? Lord, there's a miracle. Where is it? It's in my hands, God. It's in my hands. The only difference was the same staff that Moses had was now transformed by God into a symbol of God's authority. Moses had had this staff all along. We were born with these hands. God gave us our hands and our feet. We need to take and release, just as Moses released his staff, and he threw it on the ground as a symbol. When God said, throw it on the ground, he threw it before the Almighty God. And we need to take tonight, and we need to take what we have in our hands, or what we don't have, or what we think we have, or think we don't have, and we need to throw it at the feet of Jesus Christ. And then when he steps in and says, I want you to pick it up. When we pick it up, there is a change in authority. Something has happened because God touched it. You see, Moses' first 40 years in Egypt made him soft. But 40 years later, we find a different Moses as he goes back into Egypt. We too, church, we already possess what God has needed and what God wants from us. If our musicians can come, and if our pastors and our elders that I had earlier tonight when we spoke on the platform, if you could come up in line and get ready to go here, we just need to throw what we have down before God and allow God to be able to transform that by His touch. And then when we pick it up again, and it's used for the work of God, it's used for miracles. It's used for signs. They're used for wonders. It's not us. It wasn't Moses' staff that had the authority. It was the power of the Almighty God through that staff that gave him the authority. Gentlemen, just face the audience and go ahead and spread out all the way across this sanctuary. Also, Pastor is up here, and I told him he could go ahead and sit up here. This is what we're going to do tonight. I asked you at the beginning of this service if you could stand to your feet. How many of you need a miracle in your life tonight? And if you need a miracle in your life tonight, we have prayed. We prayed. I have prayed. I am believing in this month of June that God is going to release miracles and signs and wonders among His people. But in order for Him to release the miracles and the signs and the wonders, there has to be men of God who are willing to be able to take and say, "Here are my hands. Here are my feet. You use my hands, Lord. You use my feet. You have the authority to use my hands tonight. You have the authority to use my voice tonight. And you, as a saint of God, you as a guest, as a, whatever needs you have, you need to submit yourself to the power and the authority of God. And allow, as these men lay their hands on you, allow the transfer of miracle, allow the transfer of power, allow the transfer of authority from them into you. You may say, "I've never seen this done before, Pastor Roy." I've never done it either, but it doesn't mean it can't be done. We got to step out on some faith tonight. I believe that every one of these men has as much Holy Ghost in them as anybody else has. And they have been ordained by God in ministry, ordained by the pastoral staff as deacons and elders in this church. So I ask you tonight, what's that in your hand? You see, your miracle is in your hands. Brethren, your miracle, their miracle, the miracle that the Israelites needed was in the hands of Moses because God gave him the authority. So often we feel that we need extraordinary abilities to do God's work, when in truth we already possess what we need to do. We just need to let God touch it and then use it. So if you're out there tonight in this audience and you need a miracle in your life, I want you to come up and line yourself up in front of any one of these gentlemen or a senior pastor up here on the platform. Just go ahead and come quickly. If you need a miracle from God, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's financial, if it's marriage, if it's a healing. It doesn't matter. You just get yourself up here because God is going to do some miracles and signs and wonders in this place tonight. You go ahead and line yourself up behind and get in a line, and you just keep lining up, and we're going to keep praying that the power of the Holy Ghost is going to come down, and God is going to be God, that God is going to begin. He is going to start moving, and miracles are going to start happening. Do you believe that God can do it? God says, "Prove me